What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Crimson Gaming Corner, your one-stop shop for everything gaming happening here at the University of Utah. I am your host, Jackson Day, and today we've got a wonderful episode where we are joined by the members of the Game Jam team, Grindset. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Sup?
So real quick, to kind of, since we've got a pretty big cast today, I want to go around the table, kind of introduce yourself, you know, your name, your major, and then just expectations with the spring semester coming up, since this will be coming out first week of spring semester. So go ahead.
All right. Well, my name is Charlie Sinclair. I'm in the games major studying production, and I'm one of the producers at Grindset, and I'm excited to be here. So
cool. Awesome to have you.
I'm Cole Guest, majoring in games, and I don't know how to feel about the semester yet.
Maybe relieved that it's working?
No, more so stressed, because CIS and schedules are fun.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
That's the truth. My name is Jaden Leach. I'm also here for games at the U, and I'm the complete opposite. I am so pumped for the semester. All my classes are fantastic. I am ready.
Awesome here.
I'm Patrick Bernhard. I am a computer science major with an entertainment art emphasis. I'm just an engineer on the team. And for the semester, it's, I'm seeing 2 to 3 things on every day on Canvas. So does not bode well for me.
I'm the same way. I keep looking at Canvas. Every time it gets updated, I'm like, crap.
My name's Isabel White. I'm a Cuomo major in the business school with a minor in games. I'm a producer and designer for Grindset, and I'm excited for the semester to be over, so let's get it going.
Right sentiment to have.
Yes.
Well, perfect. I don't think I mentioned I'm design.
Oh yeah.
I was more so design. Thinking about the trauma that is to come.
Yeah. As are we all.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. So this week, guys, we were going to be talking about a little bit of the updates to the Activision Blizzard acquisition and the FTC, which you've got a lot to say about that. So that's awesome. and then the main topic of today will be your Game Jam experience. We'll kind of go into it. This is kind of releasing alongside. We have a bunch of TikToks and Instagram reels where we did a bunch of interviews with a couple of you guys, did overall just like filming of it, and I've seen a couple of them. They've turned out really well. They should be posting alongside this, so keep your eyes out for that. And to continue on, a little bit of housekeeping. This, once again, is the Crimson Gaming Corner, where we chat with random guests like you to recap the gaming news and events you might have missed, as well as talk about some of our favorite games and game industry stuff. You can find this podcast on all of your favorite podcasting sites. Make sure to like and share and all the other usual stuff. Give us a rating so we know how to improve. And then make sure to follow us on all of our socials. Instagram and Twitter is @_GeekWave. TikTok is @TheGeekWave. To just stay up to date with everything we've got. Like I said, all of those TikToks of the December Game Jam are going to be coming up soon. And then I will also have, I'm assuming this is okay, some of the games, the HIO pages of the games in the description. Does that work for
everybody? Yes, that's
okay, that's perfect.
Your computers might say that they're bugs when you download them, but we promise they're safe.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would say if there were bugs.
No. We don't have like some sort of like Windows credentials or whatever, so it's Windows is not going to recognize our publisher name, but it's safe to download. So if it gives you trouble, just don't worry about it. All right.
I mean, I was able to download them pretty much no problem. So, and I played through them.
We could get that fixed if we get bought by Windows.
True.
No.
Oh,
that's the solution.
Good segue.
Yeah, we could like, you know, join Xbox Game Studios. Then we would have a stake in the whole like Activision Blizzard conversation, you know?
There we go.
That would be good for us.
Exactly.
What would you value our team at?
In terms of like actual money?
Well, if Activision Blizzard is $69 billion.
I'd say a solid $10.
I take that.
Yeah. I was thinking about 10, 15.
I think same Isabel alone price. Is that least.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, 50, like, you know, pay $15 and now you have a whole game studio.
Booyah.
So yeah, speaking of that, I kind of want to get into it. With Microsoft trying to acquire Activision and Blizzard, and now the FTC taking like a big thing in it and observing it, are there any thoughts you guys have overall just of this whole acquisition culture that's going on as kind of the future of the industry. I'm curious your guys' thoughts.
I have some thoughts, but I'm curious to hear what Charlie's thoughts are first, because you seem really passionate about it.
All I will say is the FTC does this kind of stuff all the time. They always like, okay, we're going to look into it, we're going to sue. But the thing is that Microsoft has the high ground here, because to put it quite frank, like, the actual market share they have in the industry isn't big enough for them to even be considered a monopoly in the first place. And second off, you know, Call of Duty isn't their main, like, focus. Right now, Microsoft, Xbox, they have zero presence in the mobile gaming space. And because of that, like, the main, like, purpose of the Activision Blizzard acquisition, in addition to, like, you know, maybe, you know, there is an argument for Call of Duty. You know, there is an argument for some of the AR and VR stuff that Activision has been doing. But the main reason, in my personal opinion, why Phil Spencer and Microsoft are trying to buy Activision is for King. King makes Candy Crush. Candy Crush is one of the biggest games in the mobile market. And as we all know, almost everyone nowadays has a mobile phone. And because of that, it's a really big market to with your app, with applications. So, you know, having Candy Crush is a nice foot out in the door to get, like, mobile market space. And imagine all the mobile games you could promote if you had Candy Crush. You know, you could just basically have a notification like, you know, oh yeah, new Microsoft game, Halo Mobile, you know, buy it today, or, like, you know, download it today kind of thing. So, in my personal opinion, Microsoft isn't, like, yes, my Call of Duty is something that Microsoft would get, and it would definitely make them a lot of money, because Call of Duty is a huge bestseller. But the main goal is Candy Crush and King, because that's their foot into the mobile space, and the mobile space is going to get them a lot of money.
One thing I was going to mention real quick before we go into your thoughts is their presence with xCloud right now. I'm interested to see how that relates, because they do have, like, their mobile presence right now is through xCloud.
Yeah.
And to be honest, even trying to get that app on your phone is a whole thing. Like, I have it, and I've heard my friend, he played through most of Persona 5 Royal on his phone.
Right.
And that's such a crazy idea. And so the idea of getting more into mobile games and creating that would be huge. And I think, like you said, King could possibly benefit with that. Not to mention all the heaps of money coming from just Candy Crush.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, it's a, because here's the thing, like, Xbox is probably not profitable. Like, they aren't saying that, but, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, they're not making a lot of money off of Xbox, if they're making money at all. And, I mean, if you get the cash cows of Call of Duty and Candy Crush, you can basically start making up your losses. And then, like, all, like, the disappointments, like, you know, Halo Infinite and other games that Xbox has released, you know, that can get cleared up. And, I mean, with Starfield kind of, like, gearing up to, like, becoming a big game, you know, Starfield has the power to, like, actually make Xbox relevant again. And with, you know, Activision and King, you know, getting into the mix, you know, Xbox can become a really, really powerful, like, you know, a really big force with a lot of money. Yeah. Thing is that the FTC is quote unquote blocking them. But in reality, you know, they're going to either win in court, or B, because Microsoft just has a lot of money, they're just going to settle. So
go ahead.
So you mentioned Starfield.
Yes. What about it?
So on the topic of buying up competition,
right?
They bought ZeniMax Bethesda, right, and then announced that their premier game is going to be an Xbox/PC exclusive, which, right, is just a nicer way of saying not on PlayStation.
Right.
What are you talking about? It could totally run on Switch.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
xCloud on Switch.
Just like Doom and Witcher 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I'd like to believe that they don't intend to start locking things off from things like PlayStation. But so far, the one major opportunity they had to prove that they weren't going to do that, they've already blown. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great point.
It's concerning. That being said, this is not Microsoft's first experience with being accused of monopolizing. Because the same thing happened with Windows.
Oh, yeah.
But that was eventually dismissed. And now every computer you probably use that's not a Mac, which is a closed system, uses Windows. Mm-hmm. So take that as you will.
Yeah. And you were going to say something.
I'm not opposed to the acquisition. However, I think Microsoft, if they are to acquire, if the FTC is like, okay, all right, we'll let off. If they were to acquire, I think they should be very careful and have a whole plan of action of, like, integrating Activision into Microsoft. Because I remember, you know, a couple years ago when Microsoft acquired Minecraft. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to turn into Microcraft or Minecraft Soft or something. And everyone freaked out, but, you know, it was still fine. However, eventually down the line, they made that whole, like, account migration thing. And that has been one of the worst experiences I've ever had to go through.
Disaster.
That is, and it's still awful. I was actually just trying to play the other day, trying to play, like, Minecraft. I was just trying to load it. And now there's, like, so many, like... Because, like, it's, like, merged, like, your Microsoft account and, like, what account you're on your computer is all taken into account. So there's so many issues that arise. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm getting all these errors. And if I was just a regular consumer that didn't know anything about a computer, if I was, like, a 10-year-old, I'd be like, cool, can't play Minecraft, on to another game now.
Yeah.
I'd...
Time to go outside.
Yeah, time to go outside. But... I don't want that to happen again. This is like a shout out, like, please fix that. Migration, make it better.
Now, can you imagine going through that for Overwatch and Call of Duty?
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
Like, that kind of, like, makes me think, like, will they actually, like, just close out Battle.net and just roll everything over to the Microsoft Store? Or will Battle.net become the new Microsoft Store or, like, the new, like, Xbox Store on, like, the Windows platform? Because that's totally a possibility that they can do. Because at this point, like, you know, Xbox is also kind of, like, competing with Steam in terms of, like, PC games distribution. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, you know, that's a good point you brought up, because, like, you know, getting Battle.net, you know, what are they going to do with that? You know, are they going to make that, like, kind of, like, the premier, mm-hmm. like, you know, games distribution that's, like, on every single device whenever you ship it out with Windows, or are they going to, like, you know, migrate everyone from Battle.net into the Microsoft Store? So,
well, they already have the Microsoft Store, and it's not like they're not publishing games to Steam.
Right, yeah.
So... I wouldn't worry too much about, like, PC games.
I would say their PC app for Game Pass has gotten a lot better, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do that with their PC Game Pass app.
And so I don't think that means that they'll take them off of Steam or anything.
Yeah, no, they're not going to take off Steam, obviously. But.
Right.
It almost makes me wonder what this has to do, or what effect this is going to have on consoles in the future. Because, like, they're putting everything on PC anyway, and consoles are just getting so much more expensive. It's like, what's the point anymore?
That's my thing of, like, I mean, with this, I'm, for me, you know, I'm a huge Last of Us fan, and they're finally releasing the first game on PC. So many of my friends who aren't willing to buy a PlayStation to just play a couple exclusives can now use their computer to play it. And that's the ideal future for me. I don't like this idea of exclusives and stuff. Mm-hmm. It limits people off, and then you get console wars and all the other bullshit that is associated with that, you know? So that's exactly, that's a great point. Yeah. And I'm excited to see how that works out.
And I mean, Microsoft, like, is already growing at, like, a pretty monopolistic rate. Like, right now they have, like, 20% of the console market share, and it's predicted that in a few years they'll have about 30%. And that's only, you know, another 20% to go after that. And I feel like if they do start those, like, exclusive deals, you'll see that become a problem, which would suck for everyone.
Well, another thing with Microsoft is they also produce Windows.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Pretty much everyone who's running Steam is running it on a Windows computer. So really, I feel like you have to kind of combine the two. You can't just talk about, oh, it's the Xbox PC game store or whatever. No, you're running a Microsoft product. Mm-hmm. So how does that play into it? That's not probably the best word to use, but that's the one that came to mind.
Cool. Any other kind of final thoughts before we move on? I like this discussion a lot.
It's more just like, it's hard to feel strongly one way or the other because I feel like we're just going to end up dealing with the consequences no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. FTC, do your research, please.
I'll put it this way. It's either going to be, like, Sony's going to get the monopoly, or it's going to be Microsoft that gets the monopoly. It's just, you know, the FTC has to choose between the two which one gets it. So
Yeah, great points. So, perfect. I'm going to continue on to our actual topic of the show, which is going to be all about your guys' experience with game jams. We're going to kind of go into it. Hey there, guys. It's Jackson from the editing booth. I just real quick wanted to give a brief explanation of what game jams are before we get into the rest of the interview, in case you might not know. Basically, game jams are a period of time where game designers are given a topic, and then they have to make a game based off of that topic. So for this scenario, Grindset had to make a game within about 48 hours, which is the standard for all GameCraft game jams. They had to make a game based off of the topic chill. So they made a game called Not So Chill, which is about a penguin trying to survive on an iceberg while the sun's constantly melting it. And I highly recommend that you guys check this out, which the link will be in the description, as well as the link to Pumpkin Dispatch, which is their previous game. And I recommend you guys just give those a quick playthrough. They're not too long, maybe about 2 minutes each. They're really quick and easy to download. And playing through them will give you guys a lot more kind of knowledge and context around some of the things that this team mentions throughout the interview about things they did well, things they could improve on, things to avoid entirely. And so if you guys want to kind of have a little bit of context and learn as much as you can from this interview, I highly recommend you guys check that out. It really helped me learn a lot, and I hope that it does for you guys too. So we'll get back to the episode. We kind of touched on this. I want to do like a little bit of a reminder. What kind of jobs do you guys do in the game jams? Kind of go through.
So I'm mainly producer, but I also like dabble with engineering. And like in this last game jam, I kind of like put my head in the weeds and kind of like, you know, just did like engineering a lot, which in retrospect was a dumb idea. But we only had like one coder.
Poor Pat.
But I'm a producer and I also can do engineering if we need to. And yeah, cool. That's kind of my thing.
I did design. But I also actually, this was my first time dabbling in things like tech art. So I made the water shader for our most recent game. And then I did some of the post-processing just because it was something that I had not really had an excuse to mess with before.
Yeah.
And so wanted to do it.
Cool.
I did design as well. More specifically, I designed all the menus. And that's, I did a tiny bit of engineering, but it mostly didn't go anywhere.
I was just an engineer.
Poor Pat just engineered the whole thing.
I mean, I was working on it a lot. It was a very interesting experience just being the sole engineer, because this is the second time really getting my head deep into Unreal for an extended period of time. And doing so and like in that time period, I realized some follies and little bits. So like, I remember a story or just a time where we had to get the game menus going.
Right.
And Charlie was like, all right, Pat, you start working on the GUI and you're going to do something else. I'm like, okay, I got it. Go look. It's going to start. I have no clue how to start working the GUIs. I have no idea. Yeah. And Charlie starts trying to teach me. I'm like, oh, this is great. But this has also taken up all of our time, me making a game.
Yeah. Right. Engineering in Unreal, as it is with any engine, it's like you're looking at something completely different for every different facet of the game.
Yeah.
Like the UI elements and the way you put together UI is completely different from just blueprints.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was just like, division of labor, you know how to make a GUI. I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm going to implement something that implemented into the final build.
Yeah, I thought I was going to implement power up to the GUI. And then I was like, you know, and then you started, I was like, okay, I'm going to handle GUI and you can just do power ups.
Yeah, no, I was like, as an engineer, game objects, things you interact with in the game, I've got that. Don't even worry, I got it.
Yeah. I mean, if I can just comment on GUI with UE5. Compared to UE4, UE5 just made GUI, like, or user interface, it just made it more complicated than it should be.
Mm.
Like, because now you have to drag out the canvas panel, and then you got to do the widget switcher and all that stuff. Before, you could just literally just put that stuff in there, and, like, the canvas panel was already there for you. Literally, you just drag and drop, and you get graphical user interface objects. So, yeah. That's my rant about Unreal 5 graphical user interface, because they just made it more complicated for no reason.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I don't have to interact with Unreal 5. I know. I'm a producer with Charlie, and then I work on the design team with Cole and Jaden, so we have a lot of fun there. But yeah.
Our goal, hopefully, with next jam is we'll have enough programmers where you won't have to interact with
them. We'll have enough programmers where I can actually do the job I want to do.
Exactly.
And hopefully we'll have enough people so that way, you know, like, you know, producers can like just divide
actually
up
people to produce. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like we can just like divide up between teams then, you know.
Yeah.
Have a engineering producer, an art producer, and a design producer. We can like get all of that split up. But
oh, it's a dream.
Dream. You know?
At what point are you guys going to have like an official team where you can just bust these out like every weekend and then just, I don't know. This sounds really cool.
Let's hope
by the end of this semester so that we're like ready to go next year.
Oh, yeah.
But
next year, what?
I mean, like next semester in fall. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. 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 Get it together in spring. Get ready to go in fall.
Yep.
I feel like that's our timeline.
Yeah. I mean, we just need people, like, especially coders, because we don't have a lot. Like, our coders are really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're awesome. But, like, the problem is that we don't have a lot. So, it's, you know, I guess it's like a nice little call.
A little plug.
A little shameless plug here.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you're a coder and you're listening to this, hit me up. You know,
we're a really nice team. Come join. I get pizza every week. Like, yeah, let's do it. Right.
Yeah, no, Isabel comes in clutch with the pizza. You know, you might be feeling down. You might be, like, banging your head against the keyboard. But, like, you know, Isabel will come in and be like, hey, here's some pizza from the pie pizzeria. Godsend. So
what producers are for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't make pizza. It, but she's I can give you food producer. While you make it.
Cool. All right, so last question before we get into some group questions. I'm curious, like, what kind of got you guys into making games and participating in these game jams and just the creative process, if you guys can kind of comment on that. Go ahead.
I mean, for me personally, like, in terms of getting into game jams, it's just, you know, I want to make video games, and I found out about game jams. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And before I got to college, you know, all my work kind of sucked, so I never published it. but, you know, after getting into college, you know, finding teams and, like, actually, like, you know, getting a lot of experience and stuff, you know, we just publish, make games, put it out there. You know, it's great portfolio, I can't pronounce words, portfolio work. And I mean, I personally think everyone has a fun time, I hope.
I was miserable the entire time. Okay. So
we'll try again in a few weeks.
We got, like, you know, 3 weeks and, you know, fix that. But yeah, and I mean, like, the creative process is just, you know, we find out the topic and we get in, we kind of, like, meet up together in, like, the Doomcase study room, and then we're just like, you know, what, like, let's make a really fun game that's just goofy. And that's all my comments. I mean, the designers are the ones who are experts at this, so.
Oh, God. I don't know if I'd call myself an expert. This was, like, my second. Everything else is just playing a game, being like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder why they did, oh, that's why they did that. But the main, I guess, main thing that actually got me interested in doing things like game jams or just game development in general, was following the development of Destiny and Destiny 2. Yeah.
Just put that over the weekend.
Yeah, just like with the, they have like a weekly newsletter or whatever, and sometimes they'll just talk about the process that goes into making certain things. And I just always found that really interesting. And I really liked how they sort of were very in tune with the people that were playing the game. And you can have whatever opinion you want of that as of late, but it's still, it's really interesting to me how you can have this project or whatever, like this personal creative project that is almost just a collaborative effort and just figuring it out, discovering what it is as you're making it, really.
Yeah.
It's just neat.
Some of my favorite things that got me into the EAE program are like the NoClip documentaries. He's a YouTube channel that will go behind the scenes of indie developers and do like documentaries, or even the Sony published ones of like Grounded, The Last of Us one, or the Sony Santa Monica one for God of War. Yeah, those are really cool. And being able to see behind the scenes.
And just seeing like gray box like layouts of games.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, because I remember seeing something that was like, it's just like a prototype version of, I think it was Destiny 1, and seeing where it had come from, I was just like, how did it get from that to what it is now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I wanted to figure out how that happened. And so,
this is something interesting. We talked about this on the first episode, with the GTA 6 leaks of every single person who plays video games freaking out about it because it looks ugly and graphics come first, and we need to be able to like have a little bit more just communication with the developers and the fans, and being able to be like, hey, look, here is the 3D model, not even like baked whatever, of Kratos, for example.
Right.
Look at what we've done with this, and be able to like not only teach the fans, but let them appreciate
right.
like, literal years of work that goes into making these games. So yeah, that's a really cool point.
Oh, I feel like it's a bit on the people receiving the leaks. I feel like there's a little responsibility on their part to know how game development works. I remember when that leak happened, people were like, oh, look, this idle animation from this one character is literally the same animation from GTA 5. And it's like, Yes, they're placeholders. Yeah. They're working on it. Like, give them some time. Like it's like only like the first couple of years into development. Like they're not done with the game yet. So I feel like it's a little on the people to not get outraged and should understand like this is just the steps on making a game. You can't have a game without placeholders. Like you can't test and see how things are gonna look without that.
It's funny,
but still, you should probably have some transparency and show what you've been doing.
Right.
It's funny to me how different that is compared to like people who are keeping up with like Silksong, who are like, "Oh, we just want the game to be good. Like, don't even worry. Like, this can come out in 12 years from now. But like, as long as it's fantastic, it's okay." And then just the GTA stuff in comparison is just what the heck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead with what kind of got you into game development stuff, by the way.
Oh,
getting
yeah.
back on topic, I guess.
Yeah. We're gonna get it. I mean, in a similar vein, like, I had, like, the Orange Box and, like, Portal 2 on, like, the Xbox 360. And, like, they had this mode where you could go around and, like, listen to, like, devlogs and stuff. And it's just so cool listening, like, you know, we made this chamber this way so the player sees this and they do that. And it's just, like, yeah, it's really cool to see under the hood. And I just think games are, like, nothing else, man. Like, you can tell a story in a book or a movie or anything, but you can't get somebody to feel it, you know? And it's just, I wish everybody, like everybody knew what it was that games are
actually
really capable of. And it's, I feel like growing up, nobody else, I didn't have a lot of people who like cared as much about games. So I just like, okay, but this is why this is cool. And it's just like, okay, fine, I'll make this stuff and then I'll show you.
Yeah. For me, I don't want to sound cliche and just say it builds, it makes an experience for you. It immerses you because, you know, that's what games do. But in a way, like it really does. And to really put that into perspective is when I hate to be one of those people, but I listen to a lot of video game music. I'll just like, I'll just bump that max volume in my car passing by. I'm listening to Megalovania. You'll be seeing me doing that.
Actually same.
But like, people would ask you, like, why would you listen to this instead of listening to that? And I'm just like, because when I played these games, I was in there. I was enthralled. This, when I listen to this song, I remember my experiences of going through all that kind of stuff. And it is personal to me. Almost like a guy writing a love song is personal about what he's writing about.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just kind of listening to it vicariously. But but with video games, it is your experience. And I've just been also just influenced a lot by just like indie creators. I found my favorite game, The Binding of Isaac, like seventh grade. And I found out, oh, this is made by like one guy and a programmer. I was like, that's insane. And just looking at all the, like, this is his game and realizing like, oh, he thought this thing is cool. He put it into the game. That's all he did. Just like that. I was like, I want to be one of those people and just have that kind of like influence people to be like me, to get other people hooked and getting into game development. So yeah, I just all that.
Good summary.
Yeah, well, I'm not a huge gamer, which is so like shaming to say, but I've just always really appreciated the art behind it, like just the years of work and all the different teams that do it. And when you look at the credits, like at the end of these giant like games, you just see so many names that like put their heart and soul into this piece of like beautiful interactive art. So for me, it's really just about the process that I fell in love with, just seeing how much effort people were willing to put into it and what an amazing outcome it can have. So that's what got me into it.
Whereas like, how could it take 200 people to make a game?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you want to
like explore in one department too. Right. Like it's not even like that's only 200.
Right.
And it's, I think that that's just like such an amazing thing to see, that level of like teamwork and like willingness to like, you know, put in that much creativity and time. So yeah.
Perfect. That was awesome. So going into like overall questions, feel free to jump in whenever. Now that you guys have kind of done game jams a couple times, you made a couple games. What is something that you like about games and making games and this whole creative process and development?
I guess I'll go first.
Go for it.
It's fun. It's an experience that I can't really put in words because I'm not that really great with words. But yeah, it's like just making a game in general. Because like, you can like go through like so many, you can just talk with the, I can talk with all my friends over here and we can just like talk about like, okay, oh, this is our theme, all that kind of stuff. But like when you start like, you know, making the game, you know, all the passion you put into it, like, and like the actual sense of enjoyment you get out of like making a game is, you know, is pretty much, you know, what I really love about doing game jams. Cause in like in a 48 hour period, it's like you and a bunch of your friends just get together and you just make a game and it always just, you know, it works out well most of the time. If there's anything I absolutely love about game jams, it's that the fact that it's really fun to do.
Yeah.
And for the reasons I mentioned. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like the first 6 hours are like the best.
The first 6 hours are a fever dream, but like, right, in the best way.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, like for us, like the last two game jams that we did, I mean, we were all sitting in like one room. And it was just, here's the theme. Okay. And it just sort of happens. It's really, honestly, thinking about it, like trying to explain what we actually do during those first 6 hours. It's like, we talk a lot.
Yeah.
About what? Not sure, but somehow you get the start of a game. And so from chaos, you get that, like, something from nothing, and it's just really neat to watch that and be involved in it.
Most of the times it's a resource management
let's
not talk about resource or time management right now.
Let's not do that.
You gotta save till January 20th to start those conversations.
Exactly. There's another thing about resource management, like our most recent game, Not So Chill, is technically speaking a resource management game. Unless the theme of the game jam is specifically, you know, resource management.
That would
game.
Be insane.
That would actually be funny. If this next theme is
so mad if you do.
No, please don't. If the next theme is actually like, you know, like resource management game, I'm just gonna be like, bro, what? But like, we have a creed now in our team, which is we will never do a resource management game ever again, because in a 48 hour time period, you just can't balance that. And it's just, there's a lot of other issues with that. And yeah, so we don't like resource management games anymore. We don't do that. Not So Chill is basically our magnum opus because it's the only resource management game we have and will make, I hope.
I don't know.
So transitioning into that,
yeah,
you kind of went into, you know, no more resource management. Is there anything that you dislike about the game development process outside of resource management now?
Oh, I'm going to say that I hate part of the game process where, like, the engineers and the artists and, like, everyone just goes off to do their own thing. Like, it feels less connected, and I feel like I can't really help. So it's, like, just kind of, like, I send people Discord messages, like, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah, everyone goes off to their own corner.
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like I kind of don't love that, like, go off to your own corner or, like, your own department time. But it does create amazing results, so yeah, it ends up good.
It's tough when you don't throw the coders into the mines.
They
gotta be hacking away.
Cool.
Actually, I really like what we did at the end of this one, where we just got that Google Doc and we're like, okay, list of stuff we are not going to do next.
At
the top, no more resource management. I think really the big one for both of these jams is just we have to get a better idea of what exactly we're doing. We need better design docs. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Don't worry.
And I think that's probably why this last one was kind of rocky towards the end.
Yeah. I think we spent, like, you know, in the pit, in like the, like, kind of like the little meeting for the first hour, we were like, you know, like we spent 45 minutes just throwing ideas and we didn't like have a solid idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, like,
even then at the end, like when we finished that, we all went home and start working on it. I remember coming home, I was like, still not exactly sure what our game is this time. Like, we're going to have ice melting, but we're not sure in what way, in what fashion.
Yeah, is it a circle, is it a square?
And so it was literally like, I mean, it came down to it, but the programmers had to, me and like you and Cole, we had to decide how the ice was going to melt as opposed to the designers.
Well, the issue is we didn't write anything down.
No, we didn't.
Because everyone was so busy just like throwing ideas around. And then eventually we would say, okay, yeah, no, that sounds good. Okay, let's run with that. Let's see what happens. But no one actually wrote it down.
Yeah.
And so when we got back, we were like, no, I'm pretty sure this is what we decided on, but if you get down to the super specifics, we weren't quite sure. Yeah. So it's definitely a, we need to become more eloquent in our,
brainstorming.
Kind yeah.
Of like I remember having the same problem. Like you guys were off like programming the thing. I was trying to make the tutorial menu. And like, I think Charlie was there. I had like this assortment of sticky notes trying to figure out what this game was so I could teach people how to play it.
Yeah.
And I think it worked well, especially shout out to Rachel. Holy cow. She made that menu.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I was amazing.
We spent the whole first meeting just talking about how freaking cute her penguin design was. That's what got us off track.
I mean, for both jams, I think the art was like, are the best part.
Shout out to Brendan.
Like, it was like the first one, it might not work, but hey, at least the lose screen looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the only one you're going to see.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we just needed to have a clearer idea before we, you know, do that part where we split off and go to our little corners.
I think we should just have like a meticulous like checklist at the very end. Like when we're done, like, all right, we're gonna go through the game. Like when we finish our conversation about making a game, we go like, okay, how exactly is this gonna work? Did we account for this and all this kind of stuff?
I mean, like that kind of stuff also makes it easier for producers to do their job as well. Cause and like, we know
what to put on the task gate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What do we put in our task list?
Yeah.
You know,
people were writing down their own tasks.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
And I will actually be taking notes for our next one,
yes,
for our first meeting.
Yes.
Hopefully that'll help.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the best thing about jams is like the whole point is to get experience. And that's what we've done. Like we screwed around and we messed up and we know it and we are going to do way better next time.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, we did infinitely better with our second jam than, or at least it was my second jam. I think some of you were here for the one before. Was anyone here? It was just you.
I was here for the first one.
Yeah, for like the first one of the semester.
Oh, the Prime in Five?
Prime yeah.
We do not talk about Prime in Five.
Because that was only you and then a like different team or something. But I mean, like from our first to our second, the improvements in just how we work as a team and the actual quality of the game, it was incredible to see the difference. And so I am really eager. I think we might be making The Last of Us 3 for the next jam.
All right.
Wow.
I just played both of those games, so I have a
as long as you make
very,
Abby,
very
character.
Fresh appreciation of them.
I mean, like, it could be an interesting idea, though. I mean, like, well,
no.
Let's not discuss any
no.
specifics.
We have 48 hours.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
that was
like,
a joke.
Yeah.
If it's zombie apocalypse.
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
For legal reasons, that's a joke. Please don't sue me. A joke's a joke. I just sang a song.
They're too busy
why.
Releasing the show. Though.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to
happen. They're going to take another 7 years, you know? Just give them a sec.
Well, I mean, if it takes 7 years to make a game as good as the second one,
sure. True. True.
I totally took us off topic. I'm
sorry. No,
you're all good.
Magic vending.
Yay.
Perfect. Kind of continuing on, you talk about some things you want to improve going forward, which I think really worked out. I'm excited to see how it actually gets implemented. Because, I mean, it sounds like you said, like from playing at least your second and then your not so chill, which I think is the third, right? That's kind of how the
for everyone it's our second.
Second.
It's our second.
Okay.
Pumpkin, that's our second.
Pumpkin was our first, and then Not So Chill was our second.
Gotcha.
Grindset does not endorse Prime and Five.
Well, it's not that they don't endorse it, but they don't not endorse it.
We didn't make it.
We'll not acknowledge it.
Cool. Well, I mean, yeah, just even playing those two, like the amount of like improvements that I just kind of saw just based off even just game feel and like you said, the art and just like stuff, it definitely showed improvement. And I'm excited to see how you guys take all of the stuff that you've learned and go into the January one. So kind of continuing off of that, are there any tips or tricks that you guys have kind of started to figure out and like that you've been using in your game jams and in game development in general that you like, would like to share, I guess?
Line tracing.
line tracing.
Very nice.
Yeah. Also, just if you don't know how to do something, just look up something like tangential in the engine documentation and you'll discover like a whole section of tools in the engine that do exactly what you're trying to do.
I can use that.
Just sometimes just don't, as I said, I think before we started, don't be focused on going with the first quick and dirty method. Because while that is a way to learn, it's not, you're going to hurt yourself later on if you just take the time to actually learn how to do the thing.
Take the time in the beginning to figure out how to implement it best instead of doing the first
solution. Right. If you're going to learn something, learn it right. And don't be discouraged by something seeming like it's going to take a while to learn, especially if you're just working on your free time. Because you'll learn things, at least with Unreal, you'll learn things that you don't think you're going to use anywhere else in the engine, but you're like, oh, this is kind of like that thing that I did, like with an animation blueprint. Like, just for whatever reasons, just learning about alpha blending or whatever. Like, you learn that through other blueprints, and then when you start getting into animation, if you did it quick and dirty, you wouldn't even realize that there are these certain things that you can do that are almost identical to things that you already know. It's just not the most obvious.
Cool. Anything else?
If that was coherent.
I think those are our tips.
don't make a resource management game in 48 hours.
Or if you do, make good design docs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, document.
Yeah, document.
Document everything.
Actually, that's another thing. Like, if you're on a bigger team like we kind of are,
you're the biggest team, I think, in at least the GameCraft game.
Oh my gosh, are we?
Really?
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
Well, technically, like the people we have right last time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were comparable to other teams.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you are on a bigger team, just, I know it sounds obvious, but communication. I feel like we all have a better understanding of what each of us needs to do if we understand what everybody else is doing. Like, be it through TaskAid or whatever. Just all of us being on the same page is very important.
Totally.
Yes.
I think it's also important that an hour prior to the game ending, the game jam ending, we need to halt development. Just stop development.
Start it uploading.
Done. We're done. No more things added. If it's not done, it's not going in.
Yeah.
Unless it's vital.
Yeah.
But we need to just finish. So we're not finishing 10 minutes before the game jam ends.
Right. Don't worry about making something that's simple or not impressive. Focus on making something that works.
Yeah.
For a game jam. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It just
needs to be playable.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the whole thing. The
fact that
you
have something to play is the only thing that really matters in a game jam. In the end, like, as far as when you're submitting it, submitting a complete project is so much better than submitting a project that you're like, oh yeah, so this is how it was gonna work, but it doesn't really. That was a big difference between Pumpkin Dispatch and Not So Chill, is that Pumpkin Dispatch, it did not function the way that we really wanted it to. And so it almost just felt unfun because we didn't have time to like actually think about it and refine it. We just went full speed ahead the entire time.
I'm curious, did you realize that in the creation process or after, like, the 48 hours?
Well, so I mean, so like with Pumpkin Dispatch especially, it came down to the wire for us with actually exporting the game. And so as that happened, we didn't have time to actually test the separate product, because once you have that separate, like, executable, like, program on your computer, it almost cements, you're like, okay, this is what it is. Because when you're still in Unreal, it's like, oh, that's a very, you think, oh, that's a very minor issue. I'll just tweak that. That takes 30 seconds. But 30 seconds times 50 adds up very quickly.
Yeah.
And so with Not So Chill, we were effectively done probably about 4 hours before the deadline. And then we had some other minor implementations, and then exporting the game is never fun. It's always a pain. but we actually had time to do that with this. And we were actually able to play just like the finished executable. God.
Can I let y'all in a little secret real quick? So actually during snowstorm, it was impossible for you to lose.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, perfect. Because I completely forgot.
You could fall.
Oh, yeah, because you could fall off. And like, because, well, actually, I don't even know if I actually like fully implemented like the whole code for like, oh yes, the player has fell off the map and thus you should lose. I don't remember if I put that in or not.
That's fine. They get to see the windscreen.
That's the kind of bug you can ship with.
Yeah. But
with Pumpkin, it wasn't a bug. It was just not good.
Yeah. Pumpkin, it was just not
good. There's a difference between having a bug and then having a bad.
Yeah. Well, it's like all of our like design mechanics, just they weren't in. They weren't functioning. Like we had, it was planned that darkness was going to be a factor in the game. Just not in there.
That makes sense.
The map was huge. It's a killing simulator. That's all it is. Like our main design intention with this, it just didn't come to fruition, and it was just a killing simulator at the end.
Yeah,
and that's I think that's what our main problem with Pumpkin was, is just our scope got way out of hand way fast. Like, remember the power-ups discussion?
That was horrible.
No, you could, like, take off, like, you would have
there were going to be different pumpkin heads with their own animations.
It would be third person, you know, the horse would be completely animated, you know. Like, whenever you pick up a power-up, it's another pumpkin head, and, you know, your character would literally take its head off, and then you take another head and put it on, and, you know. Like, I'm sorry, we're going to get that done in 48 hours when we don't have an animator in our team.
it's fun to think about, oh, this would be cool. But think about how do you win? How do you lose? Yeah. And how do you exit the game?
What is the goal of the game?
Because I think the only way to even exit out of the program of Pumpkin Dispatch was an Alt F4.
No, you could quit the game from either the pause menu or the main menu.
Well, then that was very last minute.
I used Alt F4.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
I use Alt F4 for different reasons, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. And we had less of a problem with not so chill with the scope thing, but we did still try to do power-ups, which is another thing on our document of things we will never do again. No more power-ups.
But here's the thing. The power-ups did work in one of the versions.
They literally, for the final build, you just had to turn on the spawner and power-ups would have been
out. Yeah, exactly.
But we were rushing too much.
We went to upload that version, and then Pat played it with the power-ups, and it was actually awesome. But then they were not in the real one.
This is last 20 minutes of the jam. I'm telling. You can enable power-ups, and you're like, I've got to export the game. It's done.
We didn't want a risk of it somehow. There's somehow being a fatal issue.
We didn't have the allotted, like, maybe like 24 hours to see if power-ups were working or not from everyone playtesting just by trying to try out new mechanics. But they work. They look really nice, but
yeah.
Simple button, turn on, turn off. No.
I mean, I guess I should like also like just say this right here right now. We have new versions of the games out, like Pumpkin and Not So Chill, that actually are like good and work. So if you want to try them out, you know, we have two downloads.
Pumpkin is playable now.
Pumpkin's playable.
Choose the latest versions is what we're going to end with.
We have two versions. We have the latest version, then we have the jam submission. If you want to see the pain known as the jam submission, you can totally check that out still. But, like, we highly recommend you play the
But it's also really cool to see the difference between the game jam. I'm actually glad that you have both of those on there, because it is actually really cool to look at the difference between the two. Because, I mean, the amount of work that's happened, even though it's been, like, a month since that jam, I mean, frankly, the work that's actually gone into it is probably the equivalent of about a week, because people just work on it off and on.
And winter break.
Right. But the distance that it's come from where it was is really neat to see.
I'm curious, one of the things of like learning all about game jams and stuff was the fact that you guys work on it after the fact. I don't know why, in my mind, it was just like, okay, we made a game, that's it. And I've heard of a lot of big indie games being created based off of game jams. So I'm curious, like, at what point do you guys like, oh, we want to keep working on it? Is it just the passion that you feel towards it? And then like, at what point do you guys decide this is like our final project, we're going to like leave it be for now and focus on other efforts? Do you kind of like have a way to go about that?
I would say it's like part passion and part perfectionism. Oh, yes. Some of our
for
team.
Me, it's yes. all perfectionism.
Yeah, no, like really, some people just want to work on it because they're like, oh, this could be such a cool game. And some people are like, this is so bad the way it is. I need it to be better. Right. So I think that it's the two P's that bring people to do it.
Yeah, I mean, all I will say is like Punk and Dispatch and Not So Chill, you know, it's like, it's, I don't feel like that's a proper, like when, you know, yes, it's a game jam game, but I just don't feel like, you know, that's the best that game could be. It deserves more justice. So it's just like, you know, it's
we
like,
know we can do better.
Yeah, exactly. Like we could do better. And, you know, this game could be a lot better, period, end of discussion, you know. And this is kind of like one of my arguments of like maybe the game jams should be like a week long instead of 48 hours long.
Well, no, I see. I really like how short they are. I think that. Because, I mean, the fact that we even made what we did make within 48 hours
sure.
is awesome. And I think – because I think what happens is whenever – if you start working on your own personal project, a lot of projects don't – at least a lot of my personal projects don't survive the first 48 hours.
Right. No, yeah, I tried making a scary winter game this winter.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, because, no. I mean
– it like, got scary.
But the,
too scary,
yeah,
you gotta stop.
The 48 hours sort of forces you to fast track – the brainstorming and then execution. And so it almost forces you to like just get started, which is a lot of times the hardest part of it. And so I think that's really, at least to me, that's the appeal of it. And I think that's why I like working on them after the fact, because I have all of the groundwork that usually becomes discouraging already done, because you have to in order to have a game jam project.
Right.
So going into that 48 hours versus a week, how do you guys deal with time management? I know that's a pretty big thing, at least with game jams.
Wake up, grind, go to bed,
grind, baby.
Go to bed.
Yep.
We need to do, that is probably our major thing to improve on for next game jam.
That's our New Year's resolution as a team is time management. And we do try to have our like final idea within the first hour and then like more parameters and details by hour two. But it doesn't normally work out that way, which is the problem.
Yeah, like we get inside Doomke, we do the whole like, you know, we need to, what's our game going to be, all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, like, you know, it mainly is tertiary kind of like analysis of where our game will be. It's, you know, and like sometimes like for Bumping and Dispatch, it was more cutting, and then for Not So Chill, it was more adding. So I feel like we need to find a sweet spot of like, let's try and figure out stuff we can do, and then we need to just think about how can we do it. And also, I mean, like, you know, I mean, one of the things we do is we have that first hour meeting, and then like every single like meal time, basically, so like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, we have a meeting to like see where everyone's at, and we use TaskAid, which is a free software that works similar to Jira, but it's not Jira, so we don't pay like, you know, lots of money for it. So,
what does that software do? I'm curious.
It's literally just
it's an accessible to-do list. Yeah, everyone can log on.
A to-do list that you can share with other people, and you can like organize. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, all of our issues stem from time management.
Yeah.
Whether it's overcorrecting for how much time we have or assuming that something's going to take less time than it actually does. Like with our most recent one, I mean, like we were going strong and we had really good momentum. And so we were like, oh, well, I mean, maybe we are going to have time to add these other things to it. But we started thinking almost too far ahead, when in reality we need to just get what you're working on done and then see what you can do next. Because we were changing the goalpost a lot. We were changing changing the image of what we wanted our final product to be. And so I think that's actually where a lot of our miscommunication came in towards the end. Like Pat was working on power-ups that didn't even get put into the final build for, or at least the submission.
Right.
Just because I think half of our team didn't even know that was something we were adding. Because, I mean, like, I heard that he was working on power-ups. And I was like, why is he working on power-ups? I thought we weren't going to do those. And then someone said, oh, yeah, but, I mean, he was done with what he was working on. Or it was pretty much working. We just had some final tweaks to make. And so we added this because we thought that it would be a good addition to the game. And it is a good addition to the game. It's not like it shouldn't be there, unlike Pumpkin Dispatch, where we added things that probably just shouldn't have been there. But it was the people were so eager to make the game better by adding new things that we didn't think about what we were actually working on. And so that just sort of added onto itself, where the further we went, the less planned out it was. Whereas we didn't have a planned finish, which I think is going to help us a lot next time.
Yes.
Yeah, I have really high hopes for next time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Six new programmers. And if we have, if we just have our scope similar to Not So Chill, and we have six more programmers, this is going to go by so much more smoothly.
Yes.
We're I think we found the scope with
Not So Chill.
Yeah. I think now that we know the scope of what we can do.
Like in between.
Yeah.
Because now, like, as like a programmer, you don't, like, at least me, I don't have to like switch around to different things and fixing other stuff. Like I don't have to go from implementing the sun object to power ups and then trying to figure out how to learn GUI. We can have people that are just doing that, and I'm like, okay, here's my task that I need to get done in the jam.
Yeah.
And that's it. So when I'm done, it's making it look nice and tweaking it up, making it look real good.
Making it better rather than
going on to that next project.
Yeah.
Quick disclaimer, the six more programmers part is the hope. We don't actually know if we're going to get six more programmers.
That's up to you.
I'm like,
we'll manifest.
We'll manifest.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we're going to have at least two.
Yeah.
If Isabel was talking to some people at the end of our last game jam, and I think you got two?
Yep.
So
we're on it.
Two for sure.
I think I got another guy who I hope will join up as well.
Okay. So, awesome.
Who's also a cutter, so...
This sounds like us at GeekWhip, where we're like, hey, we saw a kid who likes video games in class, and we went over to him like, hey, you want to come over and talk about video games?
The amount of times I have done that, though, like, right? For real.
Like, hey, buddy, want to join a team?
No, for real.
Hey,
there's like the moment someone mentions that they've always wanted to try it. Oh, really?
Really?
You want to try, huh? Yeah. You want to try?
Have you heard of this team called Grandset? Dude, you should totally join. We make some really sick games, you know?
You're like, this is really interesting coincidence.
Yeah.
Because...
you know, I totally like don't work for Grindset or anything.
It's like a military recruiter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Whoa, you can't pay for college, buddy. Well, have I got the thing for you?
Yeah, dude.
Want a brochure? We have a logo.
Yeah.
Cool. So one kind of thing that I want to end off on, we've talked a lot about, we'll see if this question works out. We've talked a lot about concepts of like what you guys want to do. You want to do kind of communication better, time management better, kind of focus and like scope better. Do you kind of have any specifics of how that's going to work out with January? Like specific things? I mean, you said note-taking. You're going to actually be taking
Where's
notes.
That list we made?
She's I have it.
Do you have it? Are you able to pull it up?
I mean, No, I don't think so. Let's see if I put it in docs. Hold on.
Okay. Because, I mean, we literally, like at the end of our last...
I didn't. I left it on my computer.
Darn. Well, because I remember one of them was one of the things that we specifically wrote down was don't add any new design elements after the first meeting until everything from that first meeting is done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh. So we are like hard locking ourselves with like, okay, even if we don't decide on a lot, finish it.
Right.
Yeah. Even if we don't even decide on a complete game, finish that and then figure it out.
And then read.
Because it is better to know what everyone is working on rather than have people working on things
that might never end up in the building.
Well, because one of the things with the power-ups or whatever was that we had people working on like models and art when the code wasn't finished, which is usually not the way you want to do it, but...
I thought graphics come first. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Oh, no
who
wonder.
Cares about the code?
Who cares about the code?
Screw right? the engineering.
Who cares about the engineers, bro? Come on. Sorry, Pat.
I mean,
I'm kidding.
I've built things in Minecraft. It can't be much harder.
Yeah, 3D modeling is just like Minecraft, bro.
It's just like Minecraft.
That's actually something I've been watching this show on Apple TV called Mythic Quest.
Oh my gosh, that's a fun show.
It's so great.
It's cute.
I love it.
The way they treat their engineers.
Have you seen
so
that
funny.
Show, Silicon Valley?
No.
Okay. It's on HBO. It might be a little too dirty humor-wise for you, but I recommend this strongly for everyone. It's so funny.
I need to get all HBO for last week anyways, so I'll start adding it to the watch list.
Okay, good.
Cool. Anything else before we kind of end it off. Any last ideas besides?
Any last words?
If you're a coder, come join.
Yeah, join us. If you're a coder, join.
We're a really fun team.
We said that about artists for Pumpkin Dispatch, and then we got like 20 artists.
And now we have amazing art. So
exactly. Yeah, but so she wasn't even there for Pumpkin Dispatch.
Who cares?
Rachel, the one that did like most of the art for. I mean, we had Brendan.
Yeah,
but we had.
But now we have Max and we have Rachel. So I'm just join is what I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, just join because like we have a very like strong team behind you that are ready to implement stuff based off the stuff you guys make. Just join up as an engineer. You know, it's a fun process. It's great. We already have some talented engineers that you can learn from as well. So
as the sole engineer, I'd like to say I don't bite. So feel free to join. I'm
accepting. You tried though.
I try not to.
What about Reed? And what about Brendan? Like,
oh well, they weren't. Well, Reed wasn't there last time.
They've been busy.
Yeah. I know Reed's busy, but yeah, he should.
Reed did produce like 90%. One of the only functioning aspects of Pumpkin Dispatch.
Yeah.
No offense, Pat.
No.
I mean, understandable. The spawner, you know?
I'm the spawner of the campfire.
Well, the issue is, I think, what happened, and it's actually funny because we kind of talked about this earlier with not having enough engineers, is we assigned Reed specifically to enemy AI, and then we assigned Pat to everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, AI is kind of like that, though, so.
Right, yeah. But we still probably should have been like,
yeah, I hear you.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess one of the things that we will definitely do on the engineering side, though, is kind of like a nice little, like, you know, kind of like incentive to join us. Another thing we should probably do on the engineering side is just like, you know, after that first hour, like just write down what will we need to make and like how will that interact with each other? Like what should hold what? And, you know, like how would that like work with each other? And then once we figure all that out, we then go in and code that.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, we just don't do like, we don't have redundancy where it's like, because I remember like at one point we had a snowball counter in both the sun and the player character. And the cannon had like a point counter and the player character had a point counter. So it was just, you know, it was a mess. So,
yeah. Well, also, thanks for having us today Olive Grindset.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming.
We love GeekWave.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys for like listening this far into our rants. If you made it this far, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, make sure to check out their games. It'll be in the bio. I'll make sure to include that. And yeah, thank you guys so much for coming. I told Charlie this beforehand, but when I was like, hey, I would love to have a couple of you guys on, and he was like, yeah, sure. You know, we got five people. I was like, that's amazing.
That's fun. Oh, nice. I thought I was going to have.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much. And listeners, thank you guys so much for listening this far. Once again, if you would like to be on the podcast as a guest host, talk about whatever you're working on or favorite games or whatever, make sure to email me at j.day@usunmedia.com. Or we've got our own Discord channel where we had a whole discussion about Glass Onion the other day. So if you just want to talk about
that nerdy stuff.
Beautiful movie. Make sure to join there. Once again, leave a review, comment, subscribe, get us up there. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.